Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking a very serious question on this broadcast today. I believe a question that is rudimentary, fundamentally, the basics of our Bill of Rights and for our foundation of America today. And Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? We're talking about the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that in the culture that we're in today, the woke cancel culture society that we're living in, the loose likes lost liberals on the left, the socialist Marxist BLM communist party called the Democrats today, want to in some fashion diss and dismiss anything that would be called the fundamental liberties of the child of God. The Bill of Rights applies to us all. The Bill of Rights does not change just because I'm a pastor. My Bill of Rights does not change because I happen to be a Christian. My Bill of Rights does not get modified, infringed upon, or in any way eviscerated simply because I stand and speak based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And yet somehow, some way, that is the mindset by the loose likes lost liberals, and especially when it comes to the liberal political machine and the puppet media that eaten out of the liberals' hands today, carrying the water for the liberal mindset coming out of Washington, the state houses, and even out of our local city council and others. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about, when does a Christian lose his or her Bill of Rights? And I know the old mindset, the old adage is, well, there's the wall of separation of church and state. I want you to pull out, ladies and gentlemen, your Constitution. I want you to read it to me and show me one sentence, one word that would indicate there's a separation of church and state by a wall of separation that is alluded to by so many today. Yet there's the mindset that a Christian ought not, from the pulpit, even from the public arena, any place that a Christian goes, especially as a Christian pastor, there's the mindset that he ought not to talk about political issues. Well, I've just said, just before the top of the hour news break, that abortion is not a political issue. It is a biblical issue. The LGBTQIP agenda, the sodomite agenda, is not a political issue. It's a biblical issue. The critical race theory used by the politicians to wedge its foremost issue, and that is to have a wedge in the society today, is a biblical issue, because God created just one race, and it's the human race. And socialist Marxist out of Karl Marx playbook wants to divide the nation based on ethnicity. That's part of the playbook plan. And God will not have it that way. He created just one race. That's the human race. The transgender destruction of our children today is a biblical issue, not a political issue. The sexualization of our kids in school today is a biblical issue, not a political issue. Christians speaking out in an election cycle is a biblical issue, not a political issue, though it is political. Yes, absolutely. But it's our responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, to seek out the candidate, to vet the candidate, to make sure the candidate meets God's standard. As I call it, God's political election guide is found in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. At your leisure, read it. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you've got some ideas or thoughts that you'd like to say in relationship to this subject today, or if you've got questions that you'd like to ask in relationship to it, let me ask you first and foremost, ladies and gentlemen, do you believe there's a wall of separation of church and state? Do you believe that the state has that wall that is there, that the church cannot say anything or do anything in a political cycle in talking about the candidates? Every Christian, ladies and gentlemen, should stand up for godly candidates, vet the candidate according to God's written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word, and then make a determination that I'm going to honor God as a good citizen in America. Yes, I understand, ladies and gentlemen, that as a Christian, our citizenship is in heaven. We're aliens passing through this old world. But while we're in this society, we have the responsibility to be salt and light in this society. Salt means that we're going to try to preserve the decay, and light means we're going to make illumination rather than darkness in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, the separation of church and state is a myth. Simply put, it's a myth. Our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, guarantees our fundamental liberties, and the First Amendment guarantees the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. I believe that we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, myth number one. We'll talk about this for 1 second and then take our next caller. Myth number one, we do not have a wall of separation of church and state because those words are not found in our Constitution. The wall of separation is simply a metaphor that's used, a way of expressing that the church and its biblical ministries are those that are instructionarily, and it is separated from the state that cannot interfere with the church's ministry. Yes, there's a wall of separation of church and state. In fact, in your leisure read, 2 Chronicles chapter 26, King Uzziah was about to go into the house of God and perform something that the king was not to do. And 81 priests said, "King, don't do that. That's not your responsibility." If you put it in the Youngblood vernacular, all of his representatives, the priests said, "King, that is our responsibility. You can't enter the church and do church business." The king did it, and God killed him. Yes, he did. Read 2 Chronicles chapter 26, King Uzziah, and see how he met his death as a result of entering into the church, his business. And God said, don't. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over to the question or comment, please.
You know, it's difficult to let your light so shine before men if you allow yourself to be muted, if you allow yourself to be blocked, be censored by some entity, agency of government, or institution. The reality is we're to be salt and light. You're to let your light so shine. You're not a second-class citizen. If you're going to be salt and light, you're going to impact the culture. If you're going to be salt and light, you're going to occupy till he comes. If God's placed you there as a judge, as a police officer, as a firefighter, as a clerk, you occupy whatever space the Lord has given you till he comes. And there's nothing in the world that you can think of, that you can come up with, an agenda item, a political item. You cannot come up with a single thing that is not in some way, some form, facet, or another, addressed by the Scripture. It just doesn't exist. And the idea of, mentioned separation of church and state, the First Amendment's clear, it's articulate. Congress shall make no law with respect to an establishment of religion, nor prohibit the free exercise thereof. There's a reason for that. Government, you can't occupy the church. You can't control the church. You can't restrain the church, nor its influence on the culture. They were successful, if you will. The left was successful, if you will, during the onset of Wu flu, COVID, China virus. They were successful at muting a lot of pastors. I've got news for you. Those pastors failed miserably when they allowed themselves to be muted, even in the midst of all this emergency. What's the next emergency? How long are you going to allow yourself to be muted? Is the emergency coming just before the election? I think it is. How many pastors will submit themselves to being muted? How long will you submit yourself to being muted? Christians, believers, how long will you allow yourself to be controlled by these artificial emergencies? Is that what we'll call them? Will they shut your mouth when it comes to transgenderism? Because that's absolutely permeating the culture. Will they shut your mouths on the LGBTQIAP agenda? Will they shut your mouths on radical abortionist radical anti-life candidates and positions and legislation. Well, they shut your mouth on the Second Amendment. Well, listen, if they can take the Bible from your hands, if they can take it out of the classroom, if they can take prayer out of your mouth and guns out of your homes and out of your possession, is there anything they can't do to you? Is there any restraint on government that can do those things to you? I say no. Why is it the First Amendment is first and the Second Amendment is second? I mean, those are priority. Those are preeminent. Those are important. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been top of the list. And I oftentimes articulate the fact that it was Frederick Muhlenberg that had his church burned to the ground. Now, he was not for the revolution at the time. He even told his brother, another pastor, don't engage in the revolution. God's called you to preach. Stay out of it, John. Frederick had that position, held that position until they burned his church to the ground. And I understand he was the first signatory to the Bill of Rights, first of which being that First Amendment, that right to religious liberty, of course, also the right to free speech. So you should maintain that. You should defend that. As Daniel Webster would say, God grants liberty only to those who love it and are always ready to guard and defend it.
Right on target. Greg, hold on for a moment and hold your thought. I believe we have Bill on the line. Bill, go over the question or comment, please.
My comment is, you know, that in my opinion, David Gibbs and Christian Law Association did more to harm churches than ever than anyone else by causing them to become a 501(c) tax exempt organization instead of remaining a church. If your church is not a tax exempt organization under the IRS rules, you're free to say whatever you want whenever you want.
You're free to say what you want, even if your church is a 501(c)(3). Your church is a 501(c)(3) if it's engaged in regular religious activities. The idea that we have to go begging our government for permission to speak is wrong. And the idea of 501(c)(3) or being tax exempt, that is a biblical idea. Government can't invade the church, can't tax the church, can't and that's one of the areas. If you allow the government to come in that restraining fashion, then can you bar the door? There's nothing that they cannot restrain, control.
Well, the IRS regulations say otherwise, and if the churches had just remained as a church and not incorporated, because churches weren't taxed already. They were already not taxed. So what happened is the church invited the government in. The government didn't impose themselves.
Greg, how do you respond to Bill's statement?
Well, along that line, you have little elements that with which I agree with you. We many believers stood in line, you know, in support of the Defense of Marriage Act under Bill Clinton. At the time, I said it's a trap. You know, this government, the federal government particularly, has no right to step in and regulate or define what marriage is. You fast forward to the Obergefell whatever decision, and all of a sudden the Defense of Marriage Act was challenged. Obama said he would not defend the Defense of Marriage Act. They allowed the challenge to move forward, and now we have redefined the word, opening the door for homosexual marriage. And I would say to you, if you cannot stick to a hard definition of any word, no word means anything. Literally, we're redefining sin in this culture. We've redefined marriage in this culture. We're redefining the basic foundational terms of both religion and the culture. It's nothing can stand at that point. Things
absolutely
must, there must be a steady standard. Truth doesn't shift with the wind of the culture. So I agree. Exactly. I agree with you that many times people that are religious, people that are churchgoers, people that are Christians have misstepped. And they misstepped with the Defense of Marriage Act. That is, marriage is a holy institution. It is ordained of God. Government has zero place in the matter. So, yes,
absolutely.
To some degree, you're absolutely correct.
Now, Greg, hold your thought a minute. Let me touch on the basis of the question that Bill had.
Marriage in particular. Should be between church.
Bill, let me speak for just a moment.
Yes.
Bill, one of the things you're saying is partially correct. It goes back to the 501(c)(3) adopted by Congress with the Johnson Amendment. Lyndon Baines Johnson was a senator at the time. He hated Catholic Christians, and as a result of that, he had the amendment placed, called 501(c)(3). You go back and study the 501(c)(3) regulation, and they determined what to put in the 501c3 based on what a church does, who a church is, and how a church is to respond. And they codified that. But yet, from the 501c3 1954 Johnson Amendment to the present date, there's not been a single church, a single pastor that's been prosecuted or put out of ministry as a result of the 501c3 regulation. Contrarywise, let me say this. May of 2017, when Donald J. Trump used an executive, his power as president, an executive order, he canceled, ruled null and void the 501c3 regulation that had been in place for years that caused so many pastors to be so petrified and so frightened to do anything that's biblical that they hid in the closet until we have the diminishing today of morals and ethics and values in a Christian church. But going back to the fundamental question and the fundamental thought, and that is the 501c3 that many are frightened of today, and that has never been tried in a court because the federal government realizes they could not do so without risking the loss of it because it is unconstitutional based on the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and based on the Word of God. But yet my position is that we need to stand up and speak up and exercise our rights as Christians. And as Christians, we are free to speak, we're free to preach, and we're free to take a stand on any candidate that we deem is aligned with the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. But Bill, thank you, brother, so much for your call. God bless you. Keep looking up today. Our redemption draweth nigh. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over the question or comment, please.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I am in full support of your position that Christians should be speaking up, have a right to be speaking up, and no right to be silent, especially in the face of what is going on, things that affect the values and principles and your position as a believer. I am convinced that one of the main parts.
Did we lose Lily?
I learned to identify their true identity. They have not recognized their true identity, that it is in Jesus Christ. As believers, our true identity is in Jesus Christ, in first place, first number one. Instead, you have believers who are so committed to the partisan politics, a party, committed to a position in a party, that although down through the years, we have the two parties, two leading parties, and one of them is, as it were, standing on its head, in values and principles and beliefs. And in spite of that, these people are so locked into their partisan position that I belong to this party, and in spite of the party's lost its way, gone, they are still locked in. Nothing to get them out of it. So
absolutely. Lily, if I could jump in for just a moment, what you're saying is many people today have the partisan political agenda more than they have the agenda in serving the Lord, even claiming to be a Christian. This is the reason I've said so often, Lily, that it's an impossibility to be a Christian and to say I'm a Democrat, because the Democratic Party and its planks and its stand publicly is against God, against the Word of God, against Christ, against life, and for murder and for the sodomite lifestyle. And I could go on and on and on. And it might make some Democrats angry out there. That's okay. Go back and study the Scripture. See if what you believe in a party affiliation is what the Word of God says. Lily, thanks so much for your input. Thank you for your statements today. It's a blessing always to hear from you. Thank you so much, and keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Greg, how do you respond to what a Christian ought to do, a Christian church, Christian pastor, Christian ministry? Do we foreclose, do we forfeit our right as a Christian, as a free citizen, based on the authority of our Bill of Rights? Do we forfeit that just because we're in a Christian profession, i.e. pastor, preacher, teacher, or because you're a Christian? Is there anything, any connotation of what we find in a Bill of Rights that would say that we have those liberties and those freedoms except for certain statements, or except for certain positions, or except for certain political agendas?
it's wonderful because we have recent Supreme Court decisions, including the Heller decision, that point out very clearly your rights are individual rights. They're not corporate rights. They're not group rights. They're individual rights. A pastor in the pulpit, a teacher in the classroom, those are individual rights. When I say teacher in the classroom in a church setting, you have those individual rights, those rights to free speech and freedom of religion. And when you stand up, you ought to stand and speak as Peter did and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. If you have a biblical mandate, you have a biblically clear message, and that biblically clear message is a pro-life message, articulating that is absolutely fine. The world can call that political speech as they'd like, but it is biblical speech. If you support a candidate that's a pro-life candidate, a pro-Bill of Rights candidate, a pro-religious liberty candidate, and you support that, they can call that political all they want to. That is standing on God's word. Standing on the truth of God's word without compromise. So they can call it whatever they want, whenever they want, but I will stand with God any day of the week and face off with a judge if they'd like.
Amen.
But
one of the things I think you're familiar with, and our listening audience may not be, but Action News locally had a 24-hour cycle of trying to demean Dr. Gene Youngblood in First Conservative Baptist Church, because out on my front yard at the street, there's a sign of T.K. Waters that is the Christian, black Christian, Republican, conservative candidate for the sheriff of Duval County. And we stand with that kind of candidate. We stand with it without any apology. And they took a picture of that and blasted it all over news for 24 hours. And so, Greg, what I want to do is take this second or two and say to Action News, Jacksonville, Florida, thank you, thank you, thank you for the high-profile publicity that you gave T.K. Waters in his election bid for the sheriff of Duval County. We were able to allow the street people passing on our street on St. Augustine Road to see the sign, but that was simply a mere pittance of the number of people now that have seen that sign on top of the hour primetime news in Duval County. I'm kind of amazed that they did a 24-hour cycle and then dropped it. I believe somebody in higher up said to their news media staff that what you're doing is giving high-profile publicity for the candidate called T.K. Waters in Duval County. So I want to thank Action News for promulgating our publicity for that sign. And also they had shown pictures of previous signs where it said that all sodomites are going to die and go to hell unless they repent. We still stand for that as a Christian, as a church, and it is a central biblicist stand. We took a stand and said that Allah is a fake God, and that is still true biblically today. And those were high profile signs that we had in the past that the Action News and a 24-hour cycle were the high profile on the local news in some way trying to condemn Dr. Gene Youngblood or First Conservative Baptist Church, but because of my Christian position as a pastor, as a Christian, I've not lost my Bill of Rights, have not surrendered them, and I'm not going to allow any public media to eviscerate it. I still say, and some might disagree, I still say that Action News needs to be charged as racist organization because the candidate we stand for and that we high profile in their sign, T.K. Waters, is a black Christian conservative Republican candidate for office. And as a result of that, I believe that Action News needs to be charged with, and the general public needs to criticize them publicly for being a racist news media. Now, I don't know how your position would be on that, but I just believe that it's need to be understood by our listeners today that as Christians, we do not lose our Bill of Rights. We do not lose our constitutional liberties, our freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and the wall of separation of church and state that so many whiny liberal media and whiny liberal anemic Christians seems to lean on and say that, well, you can't do that because of the wall of separation of church and state. Greg, I know you're familiar with it. Take a few minutes and for our listeners, explain and destroy the myth of separation of church and state. How did it come about? Why is it so widely thought of as being in the Constitution?
Well, first off, your rights remain entirely intact as a believer. And the Bill of Rights, ratified in 1791, articulating those 10 points. And of course, there was some question about the founding fathers. If we articulate 10, does that mean that's where your rights end? That's the extent of, you know, by actually enumerating those rights. And we know that they go beyond that, but those are a core. And obviously, 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, you see that there's actually some priority to this. But those rights, as recognized in the Constitution, are a limiting factor, not on you. Those are a limiting factor on government. As a government, you cannot go beyond this far, beyond this point. Government, you've got a 10th Amendment provision saying government, you can only do what's articulated in the Constitution and enumerated as powers for you, and you are limited by this. I mean, it's great. It's expressly clear. As to the, you know, separation of church and state, that was obviously a phrase yanked out of a letter from Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist. You know, they were concerned about, I think, Congregationalist movement, you know, having a foothold, a toehold in government. And the reality is, in context, Thomas Jefferson, you know, said the right thing. Don't worry about it, folks. You know, this is, because government cannot mandate these things, it'll be fine. We're not going to have a national Baptist church, a national congregational church. Because government has no right in this arena. Government can't come in and tell you what you can do in your church on your church property. Government is limited. So, again, in context, absolutely right. When some Supreme Court decision used that in their language, you go, no, your oath is to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, not the Jefferson letters, and not the United Nations. I mentioned that because there are recent decisions that included language from, you know, international documents. And you go, that's absurd. Stick to the core principles we find in the Constitution. 4-page document. You can't misunderstand it very much unless you're a complete ignoramus. But I'll not say that we don't have a few of those on the court. Nonetheless, really limited on time. I really enjoy speaking with you today. Stand up, Christians. Believers, stand up. We ought to obey God rather than man. Don't ever believe the government has a right to limit you. You're not a second-class citizen.
Absolutely. And, Greg, as a result of the so-called myth of the separation of church and state, God's been kicked out of our schools. God's been kicked out of the public discourse. God's been kicked out of the political protocol in America. And today, there's a state-sponsored religion, and that's the religion of wokeness and a cancel culture. Greg, thank you so much for joining us today on the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about today a very serious issue. It is when or if or should the Christian lose our Bill of Rights, especially the right, freedom of speech, and the freedom of religion? And the answer to that question is we don't. We have not. It is not lost. In fact, in this political season, let me urge you in closing, be sure and analyze a candidate, vet the candidate, see if they meet the criteria that God's Word sets up for a candidate. And if so, stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, encourage others to vote for Christian candidates that love the Lord, candidates that stand for the Word of God, a candidate that's willing to go into office and do battle for the freedoms and religious liberties that God has given us in our Bill of Rights and not diminish them. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.